We're in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 again this morning. We're done with the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes. But fitting this morning is we're going to take Matthew chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 13, and I think it fits well with what we're going to try to speak on this morning. Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 13. It says in verse 13, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is there thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men." Then we start, basically our text is verse 14 through 16. "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Here in this passage, we are told to be the light of the world. We're also told then that when you are a light, you don't hide it. And then it repeats it again in saying, make sure your light is shining. And so we entitle it this morning, From Sea to Shining Sea. It's said that Hank Williams Sr., he was a drug addict. He was an alcoholic. I think this is going out on me. All right, so we'll just use that one. All right. He was a drug addict. He was an alcoholic. And unlike John Newton's story, Hank Williams Sr.'s life did not provide evidence of a true conversion. But what Hank Williams Sr. is famous for, one of the songs that he's famous for, is, "I saw the light. I wandered so aimless, life filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Just like a blind man, I wandered alone. Worries and fears I claimed for my own. Then like the blind man, that God gave back his sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light." But Hank, it's told that Hank Williams Sr., as I said, he was an alcoholic. He was a drug addict. His relationships became fouled up. And he died at a very early age. It's said that one night, after singing this gospel song, "I Saw the Light," he was riding in a limo with Minnie Pearl. And he was thinking about the song, and he started hanging his head and just started bawling like a baby. And then he looked at Minnie Pearl, and he said, "That's just it, Minnie. There ain't any light. There just ain't any light." Now, apparently, Hank Williams could sing about it, but he never found it. John says, there is light. Jesus said, he shows it in the Word of God in John chapter, I believe, 12. We'll look at it in a little bit, but John chapter 12, I believe John chapter 13. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." Then Jesus, once you get to know Jesus, and then you accept him as your Savior, Jesus says, then ye are the light of the world. And it's not because we are anything. It's not because we have anything good to show. It's because we have found Jesus to be the light of the world. This morning, we're just going to look at two simple ideas as far as being a light. The first thing is, because it is July 5th, the first thing is that we need to shine as a light of freedom. We need to shine as a light of freedom. What do we mean by shining as a light of freedom? I think there's a couple of things that we must do in order to shine as a light of freedom. The first thing is that freedom we must reveal as Christians. As Christians, we must show that freedom only comes as somebody has a knowledge of the Savior. Freedom only comes as somebody gets a knowledge of the Savior. So it's our job as Americans to truly shine the light of freedom. But we know a special type of freedom. Because freedom comes as somebody draws closer to the Savior. In 1630, the colonists and the New England Federation signed a compact. This compact brought them together. And we have all come into these parts, it says, of America with one and the same end, namely to advance the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was in 1630. These people came together. One pastor said this, "Our history has been inseparable from Christianity. The pilgrims landed in Plymouth in the name of Christ. The Huguenots came here in the name of God. William Penn settled in Pennsylvania in the name of the Nazarene. And the Padres landed on the shores of California with crucifixes in their hand. The kiss of God has been upon our face as we have adhered to the Savior of our souls." Daniel Webster said in a speech, "Lastly," this is at the end, "lastly, our ancestors established their system of government on morality and religious sentiment. Moral habits, they believe, cannot safely be trusted on any other foundation than religious principle, nor any government be secure which is not supported by moral habits." You look at other countries and you look at their freedom. You know what you'll notice as you study history and as you study other countries and their freedom? You will notice as a people move away from God, their freedoms become taken away. So as our country has moved away from God, have we become more free? That's what the claim is. Hey, we need to be freer as a people, and we move more and more away from God. Tell me today, are we more free today than 100 years ago? You know the answer. And the answer is very simple to see. Return back to God as Americans, and guess what will happen? Then we will be free indeed. The Bible tells us, and the Bible is clear, that we must be free. All right? And we can have freedom. But it only comes as we have a knowledge of the Savior. And all of us, most of you sitting here, well over half of you, I know this, you study history and you have seen it country after country over the years and over the decades and over the centuries. You study history and you see that they removed themselves from God, and that's when tyranny started. We celebrate this weekend, we celebrate Americans' independence from Britain. I challenge you to go over sometime to London. Visit there. Talk to people that live there. I was studying this and researching it a couple of years ago. And it is estimated now that in London, I don't know if it's London or in Great Britain, I'm not clear on that because it was a couple years ago when I was looking at it. But it is estimated either in London or Great Britain that only 6% go to church on the weekends. 6%. And I can tell you this, you go and visit there and what you'll find is a very oppressive people and an oppressive government. You know why? They know more. We don't need God. Let's get away from Him. And guess what happens when you get away from God? You lose your freedom. And in America, we are getting away from God, and guess what is happening? We're losing our freedoms. We lose freedom when we get away from God. The father of this country, General George Washington, was a devout Christian. He nobly led that little band, the poorly fed, poorly clothed, and discouraged men in the Continental Army. And in the long winter in Valley Forge, we are told that George Washington went alone to kneel and to pray for God's blessing on his little army. It is said that a gentleman from South Carolina visited New York, where the Continental Congress was meeting, and they told a friend, gentleman said, "I'd like to meet General George Washington. How may I distinguish him in this meeting?" The friend looked at this man from South Carolina and said, "General Washington will be the tall man who kneels when the Congress stops for prayer. That's the men of our founding country that founded our country. Our national anthem, the Star-Spangled Banner, was written during the War of 1812 by Francis Scott Key. One of the verses, which most don't know, says, "Blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must when our cause it is just, and this be our motto, in God is our trust." That's the Star-Spangled Banner. Yeah, that's why they don't sing that verse. Because there's a recognition of God. America, our national hymn, recognizes God as the God of America. Our Father's God to thee, author of liberty, to thee we sing. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God, our King. All around you see that God was in our founding. The first book printed in America was the whole book of Psalms in 1640. Our presidents down through the ages have held up the Bible as not just any ordinary book, but one in which we should go for guidance. General Douglas MacArthur, probably the greatest hero of World War II, said the following in an address entitled, "Where I Stand." Listen to what he said. One of the generals, "Our need for patriotic fervor and religious devotion was never more impelling. There can be no compromise with atheistic communism, no halfway in the preservation of freedom and religion. It must be all or nothing. It is an infallible reminder that our greatest hope and faith rest upon two mighty symbols, the cross and the flag." Now think about that. That wasn't too long ago. The end of World War II and a speech, "Where I Stand," in the 1950s, 65 years ago. But now if somebody stands up and says something about God, they're ridiculed. Now if somebody stands up and they read scripture, or they might even say, "Hey, I believe in a creator." How silly. Did you hear the Declaration of Independence? In the Declaration of Independence, it says that we were all created equal. Well, you bunch of imbeciles. You bunch of smart people. You bunch of Harvard graduates. Read the founding documents. Are you that ignorant? You that ignorant, you can't even read a founding document and see that our founding fathers believed they were created. I'm telling you, some of these knuckleheads in politics, they are teaching me or convincing me that evolution was correct. I believe they were evoluted. It's silliness. But I believe that I am a special creation of God, and so are you. And what does that do? It makes each and every one of us very important. And the silliness of a country that goes away from creation shows what happens. What does happen? Then there is no sanctity in life. If every person is created by God, then everybody is very special. It's very important to treat life very sacredly. But when, hey, you know what? You know, remember, I think it was last week or the week before, we were reading different things. We read a little bit about the sanctity of life, and we read about some physicists or some guys, scientists, that said, hey, you know what? A human life and a dandelion or a weed is just the same. Well, maybe in their family. Because guess what? Listening to him, he's not worth much more than a weed. Let's use some Roundup. Pour it down his throat. Get rid of the weeds. But you know, when you go to Scripture, you understand that there is a sanctity in life. But where does that come from? Freedom comes through a knowledge of the Savior. We need to shine our light of freedom. And part of shining that light is getting people to understand that there's a Savior. There's a Christ. We need to shine that light. The second thing as far as freedom comes when we keep the truth. When we keep the truth. Once churches, Christian colleges, seminaries, religious magazines were counted as a great asset to the welfare of America. Now there's a persistent effort by left wings, by religious liberals even, to cancel the voice of Christians in America. Once in our schools, people learned from the Bible. The famous McGuffey readers were based on the morality of the Bible and often referred to the Bible in its writings. Now a student can graduate from high school or college and never see a Bible or learn a single quotation from the Bible. We've gotten away from the truth. We must shine the light of freedom. I love America. I'm proud of the heritage that we have. And so what must we do? We must shine the light of freedom. What is the light of freedom? That God, Jesus, is the light of the world. And that comes to our second point then. The first thing we must do is shine the light of freedom. The second thing, and this is where I think it gets more practical, is we must shine the light of our faith. And we should look at Scripture. Sometimes you can find passages that are hard to be understood. Dr. Foglin, we've mentioned this, is going through standards, talking about wine in the Bible. I mean, you guys, you got it down. Mr. Goss yesterday, man, he was sharing to me the two wine principle. Is it the two wine principle, Mr. Goss? Or the three wine? Or the four bottle principle? We weren't sure. I'm not positive on it. We were talking about the cellar principle, the five wines. Right, and even this morning, you know, there's different ways to approach it. I mean, sometimes you can get into doctrines or you can get into some things and, man, it can be confusing. Like the Trinity. And, you know, some of you say, well, I know the Trinity. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And all three are one. All right, can you explain that to me? Well, just come on up here. Like, I know it. And you get up here and say, there's three people, but there's one person. Like, all right, so now there's three people, there's one. Yeah, now let me explain it. It's like a peanut. And you get all these things, you know, we've been in junior church and we come out like a peanut. So you say God's like a peanut? All right, now come on. All right, so is it crunchy on the outside or what? I mean, there's sometimes that there are doctrines that are a little hard to understand. But when I come to this passage, it doesn't seem real difficult to understand. Why? Because it says, ye are the light of the world. So, we're not Old English, so guess what ye means? You! You're the light of the world. And who's he talking to in the Sermon on the Mount? Go back to verse 1, and seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. So who's he talking to in the Sermon on the Mount? The disciples! It's his followers. They're saved. They're following Jesus. Are you saved? You're following Jesus? Yes. So Jesus says to you, not the pastor, you are the light of the world. That's your job. Your job is to shine forth as a light of faith. A light of faith. We shine it out. As churches and individuals, we've got to get back to the faith in the Word of God. What does the Bible say in Psalm 1? It says, Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And then if he does that, he'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. How can we get back to being successful as Christians? We get back to the principles of the Word of God. There must be a renewed emphasis on the inspiration and authority of the Scriptures. A new emphasis on the deity of Christ. We don't walk away, and we're not ashamed of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. We're not ashamed, and we don't say, well, I don't understand it all. No, we stand up and I believe Jesus bodily resurrected from the grave. His atonement on the cross and the promise of his second coming. There's a new emphasis. At least we should have a new emphasis, and we should hold to that faith of our fathers that says there's wages to sin. And if you do not repent of your sin, there's an awful place called hell. That is what we must get back to. That's what shining the faith is, and shining that light of faith. It's holding out the Word of God. It's standing firmly on the Word of God, saying, I am not ashamed of the faith of our fathers. But so many today say, oh, they're making fun of us. That's why right outside on our sign, when the Supreme Court did their ruling, I don't care what the opinion of five people are in America. It doesn't dictate what we do. God's ruling was thousands of years ago, when in Genesis chapter 2, he made them male and female, and he brought them together in the first wedding on this earth. And it was not officiated by a Supreme Court justice. Praise the Lord. It was officiated by God himself. And he brought them there together. And then Jesus, later on, he referred to that sacred wedding there in Genesis chapter 2. And then what did Jesus add? He said, what God hath put together, let no man put asunder. So that's why in our church, we preach on the sacredness of marriage. And we preach on against divorce. And we preach against the immorality that is out there. Why? Because we believe in the Word of God. And we must shine the light, and we can't be ashamed of it. That's what we must do. If you look at history, the liberalism of German universities. Read history. What you'll find is that before World War II in Germany, liberalism came in. It came in the late 1800s and the early 1900s in German universities. And what did that liberalism plunge Europe into? What did it produce? It produced a Hitler. And America better be careful. America better watch out. Because liberalism and an anti-God country always produces wickedness and horrible tyrants that don't care about life. I've been over to Cambodia. Read it sometime in the 1970s and 1980s. I've been to Cambodia. I've gone to the fields and seen the handiwork of a wicked man named Pol Pot. And Pol Pot was a wicked heathen that hated Christianity. And he killed millions. I went to the killing fields. He would line them up. And he'd have his young soldiers, some of them as young as 12 and 13 years old. And they took glee in killing people. That's what a godless society produces. America, you better beware. But as a church, as an individual, as a Christian, what should you do? Don't let your light out. Don't let your light go out. As a church, we still shine our light. Why should we do that? Well, according to Jesus, Jesus said in John chapter 8, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus also said this in John chapter 12. He said, Jesus cried out and said, he that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. He that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. What was Jesus saying? We need to shine that light. And if you're shining the light, the darkness goes away. Our text tells us that we should be a light, and that light is supposed to shine. It spreads darkness away. In essence, the darkness hates light. Why? Because it's removing its hold on the environment. Darkness and light don't mingle. They have no fellowship. They are opposites. And as people of the book, the Bible instructs us not to hide our light under a bushel. This is not the purpose of light. The purpose of light is to shine, not to be hidden. This is not a request. Let your light so shine. It's not an option. You say, wait a minute, you know what, I decided to be a Christian, but I'm not going to be a light. No, 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 it says ye are the light of the world. It's not optional. Once you got saved, you're a light. It's not an option. So obey it. Build that light. Make it stronger. There are some people that hide their faith. They hide their light because of fear. Maybe that's you this morning. You hide your light. You're at work. I hope they don't find out I'm a Christian. No, you're supposed to be the light of the world. You say, well, wait a minute. They don't like it. Well, what do you expect? Does darkness and light hang out together? I haven't really seen it. When you turn the light on, is darkness like hang out there? Like, hey, I'm over here. Like, wow, that's weird. Darkness went away. Well, you turn the lights on. Most of us don't think much about it. We say, well, yeah, you turn the light on, dummy. Well, guess what? At your workplace, turn the light on. Now, guess what's going to happen? The darkness doesn't like it. Why? Because they like it dark. Isn't that what Jesus said? Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. So don't be upset when the world doesn't like the light that you're shining. Jesus says that the men, the people of this world, they like that darkness. But guess what happens? Most of us have been there. When you come out of the darkness into the light, at first, you're like, oh, But pretty soon, what happens in light? You know it. Most of you, you've gone to your doctor, and the doctor said, man, you need some natural light. You need some of that light. Because what does it do? It brings good health. It revitalizes you. Man, the light, what are they trying to do? They're trying to stir up solar power. Why? But what does light do? It gives energy. Well, guess what? That's the light we have. We have a light that we can shine, and it can bring health to people. It can light the way. It can give them energy. They're moping around. You've been around people. Been around somebody that's been in darkness for maybe a couple days. All right, maybe their house is just dingy, dark. I mean, like, oh, you walk in and it almost feels oppressive, doesn't it? Like, wow, man, hey, you know, maybe it's a visiting somebody, or you're walking in their house, it's just oppressive. You're like, hey, can I just bring my own flashlights in? I mean, I'm just feeling a little uncomfortable. Can I bring a headlamp? I can't see. And you know what? Most of the time when you're visiting someone like that, Normally, in the house, when you walk into a house that is that way, normally it's not somebody like, boom, jumping from couch to couch. They're just doing flips, jumping up and down. No, what happens? You have to go over there, smack them more, a couple times. You rattle them, like, hey, I'm here. Normally, they're not filled with any energy in those dark places. You know that. Why? Because that's the way darkness, that's the way it ends up treating people or having them act. But you and I, as opposed to Hank Williams, when you truly see the light, guess what happens? You're energized. All of a sudden, there's a spiritual healthiness. Some of you, you've been saved, and maybe you've been saved for a little while, but you can, or maybe some of you that have been saved many, many years, you remember you walked into a place and they said, what happened to you? You're so happy. Guess what? I found Christ, the light of the world. And he changes you, gives you new hope, new direction, new energy, new health. That is what we should be doing. I'm the light of the world. You're the light of the world. Some hide it because of fear. Don't hide it because you're fearful of what someone would say. No, guess what? They're in darkness. Isn't that the song? The world was in darkness and sin. And then we say the light of the world is Jesus. We sing the song. The world, they don't understand where they're at. So don't be there and say, man, why are they acting that way? They don't know any other direction. They don't have the light. But you're the light of the world. Don't hide it out of fear. Some people hide it out of friendship with the world. And the closer you get to the world, the more and more they're going to try to cover your light. Why? Because they don't want to see it. And a friendship with the world, the Bible says, is enmity or an enemy of God. It's always been universally true in America. The greatest patriots, guess what they were? Greatest Christians. Someone has said that the American Revolution was a church revolution. Why? Well, we know it. We know history. Why were they coming to America? Most of them were coming because of religious freedom. They had a light, and they wanted that light to shine, and the government was putting it under a bushel. No, I got to shine my light. So they tried to find somewhere where they could shine it. It's not wrong to be patriotic. Great men of the past, Samuel Adams, John Adams, George Washington, Robert E. Lee, Stonewall Jackson, William Jennings Bryan, they loved America. You know why? Because they loved God. And they believed the Bible. And they believed that the Bible had given us a solid Christian nation. So we don't have to say, man, I wish that I could be patriotic. No, you can be patriotic. Remember our heritage. Remember what God has given us. He brought a light. And that light is Him. It's the light of the world. And we can be happy that God has brought us here in America. But what we should be doing is saying, wait a minute. Let your light shine. Don't hide it under a bushel. Hey, they may not like it. They may not like that we're going to stand up and say, no, that's wrong. Then shut us down. Because what they're going to have to do is they're going to have to get a big old squirt gun to put our lights out. Because I believe we should be the light in Northwest Indiana. That's what we should be. And some people in Northwest Indiana, they may not like it. They say, wait a minute, man, you know, come on, be a little easier. No, we stand as a light, a beacon. But we stand as a beacon on God's word. Why? Because we know Christ. He's the light of the world. and we want to let our light shine. We can still thrill to the flag, to the national anthem, and the American hymn. The American hymn goes like this: here comes the flag. Hail it, who dares to drag or trail it. Yeah, believe this, this is the American hymn. Give it hurrahs, three for the stars, three for the bars. Uncover your head to it, the soldier who tread to it. Shout at the sight of it, the justice and right of it, the unsullied white of it, the blue and the red of it, and tyranny's dread of it. Here comes the flag, cheer it. Valley and crag shall hear it, fathers shall bless it, children caress it, all shall maintain it, no one shall stain it. Cheers for the sailors that fought on the wave for it. Cheers for the soldiers that always were brave for it. Tears for the men that went down to the grave for it. Here comes the flag. As Americans, we have a responsibility. What do we have a responsibility? And especially as Christian Americans. And I put the word Christian before America. And the reason is that we're Christians. First and foremost. Why? Because I found Jesus Christ as the light. He saved my soul. And when he saved my soul, he said, now, guess what? Go out there and you be my light in the world. I don't know why Jesus chose to do it this way, but he doesn't rent airplanes and put banners across the sky and say, hey, turn to Jesus today. He didn't make the creation around us. He didn't make the trees or the walruses or the dogs or the giraffes or the lions. He didn't tell them to proclaim that Jesus is the light of the world. He told you and I, his most special creation. The only creation that he took time in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. The only creation that he took time to form. And he breathed into us the breath of life. No other creation has that. And that's why we're a special creation. You are not on the same level as your dog. I know some of you, maybe in your home, your spouse treats your dog better. I understand that, and that's for another time and another place in therapy, okay? But you know what? Your dog, your cat, your bird, whatever it is, no, it's not. I'm sorry, it's not human. It doesn't have a soul. God gave you and I souls. I don't understand it, but guess what? That's, again, our God. And he created us, and he breathed in us that breath of life, and then we have the opportunity. He doesn't force us to love him as our creator. Think about that. I would have, and you would too. Don't be so pious to say, if I was creator, I would do it the same. No, we would all be little Hitlers. Like, you know what? I created you, you little slime bucket. Get over here. Now bow down and worship me. But Jesus, our God, didn't do that. He gives you an option. And look at the option that most people choose. They choose to disrespect our God. They choose to despise our Savior on the cross. And you know what that should do for you as a Christian? Stop it. Turn the light on it. Shine that light. Say, no, no, no. You don't understand what Jesus did. He was the light of the world and he saved my soul. And now we are the light of the world. And man, and you can know the truth. And the truth can set you free. That's true freedom. Freedom comes when you know Jesus as your Savior. Heads bowed, eyes closed. This morning there may be somebody. Maybe you came in just for a visit.